Getting your day started with news from around the state and around the world. Common Sense Radio. This is the Steve Gruber Show.
All right, it's Free For All Friday. That means Professor Doolin's here. Sometimes he's holding class, sometimes he's taking notes. It depends on the day. Professor, welcome back to the program.
Thanks, Steve. Glad to be here.
Do you want to take notes today, or do you want to teach? What do you want?
Either way, did you have any specific subject in mind?
Well, sure. I want to talk about, let me ask you this. Let's talk about WikiLeaks, because the Clinton campaign is being bogged down with WikiLeaks all over the place. So, I mean, we're learning that they want to make George Soros happy. We're learning that, you know, they're trying to set up deals where Bill Clinton makes $50 million. And it just goes on and on and on. And the collusion with news media and the cooperation with everybody, it's stunning to see inside the sausage factory, if you will. But they have been obtained illegally. I don't know if they came from the Russians, where they came from. And there's a lot of pushback saying, well, they were obtained illegally. And for that reason, should we ignore the content of these emails, Professor?
Definitely not. That's a great question, Steve. Where they came from is irrelevant. I think what is relevant is whether they are valid and reliable, whether they are true. And if the information is true, the fact that it was somehow illegally obtained, completely irrelevant at this point.
Well, the Democrats certainly didn't seem to mind that Donald Trump's tax returns were illegally obtained and published on the front page of the New York Times. That didn't seem to bother them much.
Well, absolutely. The truth is that when you go in there to vote, you have the right to any information that you can get about who you're voting for. This is a sacred trust. This is the basis of our system. This is the worst of all possible systems, except for all the others that have ever been tried.
Well, yeah, exactly. Except for everything else that has always failed, let me ask you this. Because what we're witnessing here is the degradation of a candidate. Hillary Clinton may still come out on top a week from Tuesday. I don't know for sure. All right? You know, it's hard to say because this Obamacare explosion is happening on the state level and a lot of momentum moving back to Donald Trump as a result of these increased rates of, you know, 30, 40, 50% and more. But as Hillary Clinton may ascend to the White House, she could arrive there with a pile of scandals in tow that make her almost completely ineffective as a leader. It could make her the weakest person taking the office of the presidency since James Buchanan, which was a long time ago. And the question beyond that, Professor, in the world of law, could these scandals that are following her, if they continue to build mass and build weight, could she be impeached for something that occurred prior to her taking the office of the presidency?
That's an interesting question. I don't know the answer regarding something that happened prior in impeachment. I imagine it's possible because ultimately it's up to the Senate and the House of Representatives how far it goes. High crimes and misdemeanors is the standard, and that's generally construed to mean while in office. But if nothing else, you know, you and I know, and anybody who can think and read knows, that she'll continue to commit the crime of concealment and cover-up after she's in office.
Oh, certainly. And she'll have more levers of power to do that. She'll have more, you know, more ability to conceal and cover up. But see, the problem is the totality of the scandals continues to build. I mean, at some point, I mean, just the sheer mass of it all might crush her. And I'm looking at State Point. I mean, there was a week or two ago, the Democrats are going, oh, we're going to win the U.S. Senate. There's no chance in hell they're going to win the U.S. Senate. And they'll be lucky if they pick up any seats at this point. They're certainly not going to win the House, which means she's going to come in with almost no political clout. She's going to come in, you know, with a Congress that is stacked against her and disgusted by her in large measure because the Republicans don't like her. Heck, half the Democrats don't like her. So it could make her literally the weakest leader to take the office in my lifetime for sure. I mean, when Barack Obama came in, even those that opposed him didn't, you know, have the disdain for him that they have for her, and he had a mandate. I mean, he was swept into office. He was able to do things. I don't see that with her.
No, I agree with you. And so you've just provided, in addition to the moral and ethical reasons to not vote Hillary. And in addition to the practical reasons in terms of what she might be able to do, you just came up with another reason to not vote Hillary that I hadn't considered before this morning. So this morning, I'm taking notes, Steve.
It's okay, and so there it is. Have you voted yet?
No, I haven't.
No, neither have I. You know, I was going to. I was going to try to vote early because I wasn't sure. Then I decided, you know what, I'm going to make sure that I'm in town because I want to go. I want to see it. I want to see how many people are in line. I want to see what the energy level is. I just want to see it because I think doing my job, it's important for me to go see it in person and not mail in the ballot.
So take the pulse.
Absolutely. You know, and see what happens because, I mean, travel the country. I think what it sets up as, Professor, and you can appreciate this, what I see out in the country, a lot of Trump signs. What I see in town are a lot of Clinton signs. I think we're seeing this ongoing evolution that's occurred my entire life, which is, you know, the urban people against the rural people, the city against the country, because there are different values of people that live out in the country for those that live in high-density areas. Am I right or wrong?
I agree completely. I think the further you are from the source of your food, the less clearly you think.
Now, that's clearly it. And I thought it was the farther you are from the source of your food, because out in the country, oh, I get what you said. I was thinking about it backwards. I thought the farther I was out in the country, the more self-reliant I was. And I'm thinking you're sticking it to me, but I had it upside down there for a moment. I got it all sorted out now.
Glad I could help.
Good Lord. Now I got to take notes. All right. Last most important question of the day, Michigan or Michigan State?
I'm calling you from East Lansing, so you know I got to say MSU.
All right. There you go. Steve Doolin, Michigan State guy. Professor here. He's the board of directors of the Michigan Coalition of Responsible Gun Owners. All right, put your list together. Greatly appreciate it, Professor, as always.
Thank you, Steve. Yes. Always happy to be here.
Steve Doolin, great guy, everybody, here on the Steve Gruber Show, Free for All Friday. You know, just always sorting out. Now, when we come back, we're going to have a conversation with Kathy Brennan. Kathy Brennan is a proud lesbian, women's rights activist, and a person who is totally opposed to the gender wars, as she called it, and transgenderism, and the destruction of the female identity in politics. We'll talk about it on the Steve Gruber Show.